Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you. Always a blessing. And I hate to put it to you this way, but the Messiah hasn't come yet, okay? We've still got a week to go. Because we're in our four-part series. So we started off with kickstarting something, you know, putting energy into something. And we're correlating the creative process of unfoldment with the coming of the Christ and the story of Advent and all that it takes to fulfill something. So we started off with kickstarting, because you have to have energy, you know, to kickstart something into activity. We did that a couple of weeks ago, and then last week we talked about maintaining energy, how once you get something going, it has to be maintained. It's easy to get something off the ground sometimes, but then how do you keep it going? And then that gets worse, because you're into the long haul, you know, when there seems to be resistance, or there seems to be nothing happening. You thought you had your goal all set, and then you've got this long hiatus, this long time where nothing's going on. Or maybe worse than that, there's this resistance from the universe, resistance from friends. We thought we were going to support you in this. So we're going to talk about the long haul today. The first candle in the first week kickstarting was faith. And then last week in maintaining energy, we're talking about peace, because you need that peaceful center to keep moving forward. Today we're going to talk about love, which is the third week, because perseverance, keeping going through the long haul, requires that we are focused in the highest we can be, and that's in love, right? So what I'd like to do is read three teaching stories from the Gospels, from Jesus' teaching about this subject. It's interesting how much he talked about perseverance, and then we'll see what strikes us in these particular stories. They're fascinating, I think, and we'll see what grabs you there, what speaks to you today. So the first one is Matthew 15, and this is 21 through 27. Jesus then withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He left the Holy Land, left the homeland of the Jews to go to Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from those parts came to meet him, crying, "Son of David, have pity on me. My daughter is tormented by a devil." But he said not a word in reply. His disciples came and urged him, "Send her away. See how she comes shouting after us." Jesus replied, "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to them alone." But the woman came and fell at his feet and cried, "Help me, sir." Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Oof! Nasty. She replied, "True, sir. And yet, the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table." Hearing this, Jesus replied, "What faith you have, let it be as you wish." And from that moment, her daughter was restored to health. Wow. Tough, isn't it, to go up to the authorities, to the leader, to the man you admire the most, and he tells you, no. Tough to then keep going and persevere, right? Fantastic resilience and tenacity in that Libby Valari woman in the Bible. That willingness to keep going no matter what. Second one is from Luke 18. Jesus tells this. He says, "In a certain city there was a judge who had no fear of God or respect for man. Lo and behold," I hope that's not true in Fort Worth, Texas. "And in the same city there was a widow who kept coming before him to demand justice against her opponent. For a time he refused, but in the end he said to himself, 'Although I have no fear of God or respect for man, yet this widow is so great a nuisance that well, I will give her justice before she wears me out with her persistence.' The Lord said, 'You hear what the unjust judge says? Then will not God give justice to his chosen, to whom he listens patiently while they cry out to him night and day?'" And the third one is from Luke 11. And he says to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend, who comes to him in the middle of the night and says, "My friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine on a journey has turned up at my house, and I have nothing to offer him." And he replies from inside, "Do not bother me. The door is shut for the night. My children and I have gone to bed, and I cannot get up and give you what you want. I tell you that even if he will not get up and provide for him out of friendship, his very persistence will make the man get up and give him all he needs. So I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to those who knock the door will be opened." This is the law. So, what stands out to you there? It's obviously about persistence, tenacity, the willingness to go the extra mile no matter what, even if you get told no, right? What else? What else grabs you? The what? The squeaky wheel gets the grease? Yeah. This is true, right? Now, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between being persistent, right, and banging your head against a brick wall? Because, you know, you can bang your head against that wall forever and never get results. But how come when you persist with something, you do get results? What's the difference? There's a goal in mind, right? That's the answer, isn't it? When you have an understanding of the dream, as Libby said, or the goal or the achievement that you want, then you will find ways through that wall. But if all you do is hit your head against the problem that you come up against, then you'll never get through it, right? And so many of us, we talked about this last week, you start an exercise program or you're trying to lose weight, it doesn't seem to work. Why? Because we get so darn fixated on the exercise and the weight instead of the goal that we have, right? But so we, oh no, I don't want to get up and do that exercise. Oh, I hate not having to be able to eat that food. So where's your focus? On the food, on the exercise, instead of what the dream is, what the goal is, right? And if we keep our eyes on that goal, then we will achieve that. But if we get stymied by the barrier that appears to be present in any circumstance, right? And that's why we don't persevere. We don't get to our chosen goal and achievement. I'm amazed by that woman. I've read that scripture now many times, and we did it at the 9:30. But that woman in Tyre and Sidon, the Canaanite woman, who had the chutzpah to speak to Jesus in such a way, you know, and she was smart, wasn't she? Because he said, you know, I don't give dog, you know, don't give this. It's like giving my good stuff to the dogs. And he said, yeah, but you know, even the dogs have some crumbs. Brilliant riposte, wasn't it? Brilliant idea. And she was willing to accept the crumbs. Because, you know, the crumbs have the whole thing. It's like the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. You don't always have to have the whole thing. You just have to have the idea of it, right? The spark of it. Once you got the spark, it transforms everything. Magic crumbs. Little tiny bit. I don't have to know everything, right? Isn't that good? We don't have to know everything. There's a lot to know in this universe, isn't there? I don't have to know. I have to know what I know. And in that, it's holographic. Once I know what I know, I get the whole picture. You understand what I'm saying here? It's very profound. I don't have to love everybody to know what love is. Once I love one person, then I understand what love is. Right? But it's not about having to spread it over everything. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, he said this about persistence. He said, persistence is the inner spiritual quality of our abiding conviction that urges one on to accomplishment. Persistence is the inner spiritual quality of an abiding conviction that urges one on to accomplishment. And I want to particularly focus on those two words there, abiding conviction. That's a powerful phrase, just to say it. You want to say it together? Abiding conviction. Makes you feel powerful, doesn't it, just saying it? Abiding conviction. Because let's break it apart then. Abiding. What does abiding mean? What? It lasts. It's abiding. It's not temporary. It's with us, right? What else? Abiding. You're living in it. It's a living reality for you. Remember, the dude abides. you ever saw that movie. The dude abides because he is convicted. And that's the second word. You abide, abiding conviction. If you have a conviction about something, what do you have? Vision? Deep belief, deep faith in it? Determination as a result of that faith? Willingness to do whatever it takes to get that into manifestation, right? Abiding conviction. The opposite of just a fair weather thing, something that's a nice idea. This is something I'm going to pursue because I know it to be true for me. I'm going to bring it forth into actuality. Are you okay? Okay. Oh, something fell? Everybody's cool? All right. Good. The spirit done moved and things are happening. So what else? We've got two other stories there. The one about the woman, which is powerful. And then you've got the, you know, what about going next door for bread or sugar? You okay about that? Some people still do that. My sister-in-law still comes and gets stuff from us. Sometimes you might get bad sugar, as we said at 9:30. You know, you've got to be careful. You might get the barrel of a gun pointed at you. You know, you've got to be careful these days. But again, it's not literal, is it? It's about the willingness to claim your good, right? Even though your good may not be apparent, you are claiming it. You're willing to claim your good. We're all worthy to claim our good, yeah? To ask for what we want. Because it's a spiritual law. Ask, knock, and seek. What does it mean? It means that I'm opening myself up to the larger universe, right? I'm not asking or seeking or knocking from lack. I'm asking, seeking, and knocking from an understanding that the universe is giving always, and I claim part of that giving. I want to be part of that flow, right? So if you're claiming things from lack, have you ever noticed what you get more of? Less, get more lack. But if you're claiming things from an awareness that this is my rightful claim, then it begins to flow to us. Again, it's not being distracted by the apparent block, which lack can be sometimes. It's seeing the final goal. It's seeing to the core of where we're headed. We talked about Mary for the last couple of weeks, you know, and the interesting story that happened to her. You know, the first week she was told she was going to give birth to a Christ child without sexual intercourse. And that, of course, that must have blown her away, right? That's going to rock your world. It rocked Joseph's world for sure. But it also rocked Mary's world. But she agreed to it. She had an abiding conviction that I'm going to follow this. Okay, Lord, I trust you. You know, I've had a guidance from the angels here. And then last week we followed her as she left her hometown and went up to the hill country of Judea and went to Elizabeth's house and stayed with Elizabeth for the first trimester. So for those tricky first weeks, she was there with somebody to support her. And then this week, we don't hear a lot about her until it's full term, basically. She had presumably all was going well. The gestation was going along fine. And then right at the end of when you're expecting to give birth, she has to go on a long journey, right? We know the Bible. Maybe we don't know the Bible. I don't know. There was a census, right? Right? Remember? There was a census at that time, and they had to go to their hometown. So they had to leave. We had to leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem. You know, a long journey. And you don't want to go when you're heavy with child. But she did it because she had that abiding conviction. You know, this is what we need to do. And then when they got there, we know the story, don't we? No room at the inn, right? And they could have hit them head against the brick wall all night trying to get that landlord to change his mind, whatever. Instead, there was new guidance that came. Hey, listen, look over across the street. There's a stable or a cave. You know, that might work. Now, so often, if we don't take that opportunity, if we're not flexible, we miss it, miss the chance, right? Because it doesn't look too promising, does it? A cave or a stable, right? And where are we going to put baby? In a food trough, in a manger. You're kidding me. No way. That's worse than, well, I'm not going to mention any hotels that might not be so good, but you know what I'm saying? That's bad. But here's the thing. When you think of the Christmas story and the creche, what's the first thing you think of? The manger, right? There has to be a manger. So this very lowly cattle trough, whatever, became the centerpiece of the Christmas story. Isn't it interesting? So the very thing that we overlook, you know, well, I'm no good at this. I don't know if I could do that. Well, what are you overlooking? Maybe there's something here that you are gifted at that you discount for some reason, because that's nothing. That's just a manger, you know, whatever. Well, it might not be. That might be the actual thing that helps us through. Right? So don't give up. There's always something lurking that you have not suspected if you can stay flexible with this. Because now the manger, I mean, it's big time. Now the manger is gold-crusted. It's got diamonds on it. I mean, it's big. You know, everybody talks about the manger, man. I'm the manger, you know. That was meant to be a joke, but... It fell, it petered out. Boom, 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 boom. The manger fell. There it goes. Poor man, bye-bye manger. Yeah, rim shot, yeah. We talked about that. Yeah. All right. So talking about persistence, it made me think about my 30 years here at Unity. I guess persistence is part of that. But it's a long time, it's half a lifetime, and as most of you know now, I'm retiring in March 4th, but it's been making me muse a lot about what it meant for me to be here at the church and reviewing my career and where we are as a church community. And I truly feel it's the right time because I think, you know, I helped grow the church during the growth years, helped sustain it through difficult times. And now it needs to have a new vision to lead us on into the next one, because I want to release some time so I can write. And I think that's in perfect divine order. But there's a sense that there's a persevering that's important here. And I swore to my wife while we were on sabbatical that I wouldn't mention the split that we had 7 years ago. But because I'm talking about it now, I'm just going to get it out there. We had a split 7 years ago, okay? And as a result of that, a lot of the core of our church was torn out. We lost a lot of people, and financially we nosedived, and we've been persisting since that time, 7 years of that. And that's great, because it's a miracle where we're still here and doing our thing and celebrating this message, right? But it's also tiring after a while. It's tiring when you're constantly trying to make ends meet and work the program and stuff like that. So I think there's a time that comes where you say, we need to release this. We don't want to be banging our heads against brick walls. You know, we have to come up with a new vision, a new dream. I'm particularly thinking that in terms of finances, because our finances right now, and we've had this before, this is not new. We're about $25,000 in the red right now. We need to turn that around if we're going to come through into the new year. Some people have talked about selling the church, downsizing. That's tough for me because I was the one that helped build the church. We moved from a small church to this facility, so the idea of downsizing it doesn't fit well. Or that might be the way to go, I don't know. But Jesus said a very powerful thing, one of my favorite quotes that he ever put out there, and that was, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? Whatever you value the most is who you are, basically. Right? So we all have to look to that, because I know a lot of us love the church and we support it, and we don't know a lot about it, though. You know, I come on Sunday, enjoy it. Do I want to be on the board? No, I don't want to be political. They take care of it, whoever they are, and it'll be all right. But, you know, we are them. We are all part and parcel of it, right? So we have to ask ourselves, how much do I treasure this community so that its heart can be still beating and alive? It's as simple as that. So, you know, that's an ongoing process that we're going to need to look at over the next few months as we get towards bringing in a transitional minister and greeting them and seeing how they're going to help us get a permanent replacement, etc., right? So it's a certain ownership here. How are we going to do this? Are we going to go down the tubes, or are we going to rise to the occasion? Where is our focus? Where's our vision? What's our dream? So just throw that out today, because we don't always talk about it, you know, in unity. We believe we're always going to be provided for. You know, God is in charge. Don't worry about it. But sometimes you have to talk about these things, right? And be real and honest about it. And what do we want? Because ultimately, what's that phrase again? Abiding conviction. If we have an abiding conviction about something in our own lives, in this church's life, it will be made manifest, right? It will come into actuality. So let's get back to the original stories and the idea about the long haul. What can we take with us that's helpful for us this week? Long haul. What are you going to do? Hold fast. Okay. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, right? Whether it's good times or bad, there's something within me that's greater than the up and down. Yeah. Hold fast. Stay focused on the dream, whatever your dream is, right? Whatever you kick-started and wanted to bring into actuality, stay focused on that. Don't be confused when obstacles come or barriers or debt or whatever it is comes. Came for a purpose. Yeah? Look for unexpected miracles. That's where staying flexible is, right? That's finding the manger. There we go. Don't take no for an answer when your inner truth says yes. Keep to that goal. Love it. I love it. Because, you know, the chips have been against a lot of people over the centuries, right? Wasn't looking good for Jesus in 33 years from now, after the birth, right? But he persevered. A couple more, and then we'll let it go. Stay humble, because that's the key to being teachable, right? And being teachable is the key to staying young. And staying young is the key to coming back home as a little child to the kingdom of God. So it's very important to stay humble and open and receptive, right? That is the key. Because when you're old, you get rigid and hard. We never want to get old. We want to be soft, flexible, and supple so that we can welcome the new, right? So none of us ever have to get old, right? Not in that sense. We're always young. Be grateful. Grateful for the good that you see right now, because then more good is attracted. And by the way, it's not about this building, as we said at 9:30. We don't have to have an edifice complex. It's about the living heart, isn't it, of who we are and who we choose to be. That's enough. Amen.
Let's take just a moment to fall into meditation together. Let's center ourselves. Take a moment to remember that in this sanctuary, our hearts beat collectively. I invite you to close your outer eyes. Now breathe deeply with me, with each other. In and out. Let the oxygen we take in spread to any tension we might hold, releasing those tight muscles simply by being still and breathing deeply. Each time we release our breath, we relax deeper. Our shoulders begin to drop away from our ears, our necks soften, our body relaxes. Let's step out of consciousness together for just a moment into a beautiful starlit night. A full moon shines down and we can see absolutely clearly. Our dwellings are behind us, decorated with twinkling Christmas lights. And ahead of us is our path. It's a path to our dreams. We are perfectly comfortable now. Light as air, perfectly at ease. We make ourselves comfortable on the ground, on the grass, lean up against a big tree. And we look down that path. We can see our dream path clearly. It twists and it winds. And we can't quite see around the corners. But that doesn't matter. We're fine right here, right now. We see some places where we might stumble. And we see that the path leads to a hill. A hill we know we will climb eventually. But we know absolutely that it's not a thing to fret about. We might have to pause to rest once we start up it. But that's all right. Just think of the beauty we'll see all around us when we do. And now I want you to imagine what it's like at the top of the hill, where there is 360 degrees of clarity for us to view our choices, to make sure our passion illuminates our path. What a lovely, peaceful place we dwell. Right this moment, with our dreams, and with the absolute surety of abiding conviction. Let's take a moment to see them, feel them to our deepest core. Embrace your dreams right now. Before we leave our dream state, I'd like all of us to take a moment to share the same dream. A dream of world peace. A world where there's enough for everyone. Where sharing is normal and beautiful. A world void of the fear that causes hate and sickness and greed. I want you to see yourself right now as a peacemaker in action. Think of the peacemakers who've shown us how. Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, Martin Luther King. Blessed be the peacemakers. We are the peacemakers. And unity shows us how. Now let's gently begin to make our way back to the twinkling Christmas lights and the sanctuary and to each other. Wiggle our toes, our fingers, and our nose. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes as we feel refreshed and renewed and peaceful. So it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.